This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to the Steve Carino Show here on placetobenation.com, and now your host, the king of old school, Steve Carino. Carino Show, week four, and they said we'd never make it to. I am your host, the Angry Monster Steve, played by Steve Carino. The Steve Carino Show is brought to you every week free of charge through the Place to Be Nation. But if you want to contribute, head on over to eBay and bid on one of my ECW Steve Carino action figures. As of right now, there's only seven left, so you better get them, and then they're gone. All right, go to Pro Wrestling Tees. I talked about it last week, and get a new PWF shirt. I also have new ones being designed by a bunch of great people, and they're going to be up soon. And we also have some of the 20th anniversary tees left on worldofcarino.com. It is a great week. It's an amazing week. It's Tuesday night. I'm drinking coffee. I'm on Emerald Isle. It's beautiful out. The sun's been out for a week now. The tourists are in town, and oh man, life is freaking good. You got my producer in the house, Dan. What's happening?
Not much, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing great. Oh, there's that awful Boston accent coming out.
My mom listened to the first episode, and she's like, "Don't hide the Boston-ness in you. You know you have it." So I go, "All right, I'll give it a few weeks, and then I'll throw it at you to see how you take it."
Yeah, just because you have it doesn't mean you need to show it. I have a big ass, but I don't like to show that either. Oh, hey, we got a lot to talk about today. You know, we're going to talk about Global Wars, the ROH iPay-per-view that actually went through. If you've ever ordered an iPay-per-view from Ring of Honor before, it is like cursed. This one actually went through. There are a couple funny things that happened there, and we'll get into that. And then current events. Popped up some current events for you this week, Dan. You know, we're going to talk about Casey Kasem. The old man's missing. We're going to talk about Frozen and how it's the greatest movie known to man. I want to talk about last week's Goldberg's episode. That was just awesome. I guess we just talked about it. Girl Meets World is coming. Ho-ho! Dancing with the Stars. And I got to give a shout out to Starbucks this week. And I'll tell you why. But let's start off with Global Wars. Global Wars came to us live from the Ted Reeb Arena in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. It was Ring of Honor and New Japan putting on an internet pay-per-view, and it was spectacular. Now, for me, I've done 79 tours of Japan from 2001 to 2012. And I mean, that's a lot of time going back and forth. And a lot of the New Japan guys I saw break in, you know, whether it be Tanahashi or Nakamura, Jado and Ghetto, I knew from before. They actually did a couple ECW shots back in the day. And plus, we have mutual friends. Jushin Thunder Liger was there. I mean, there was just so many great things. Plus, the Ring of Honor stars were in the house, and they were doing their thing. Now, one of the things that people wanted to talk about was that Jim Ross made an appearance at the show. Now, Jim Ross was in town to do whatever the hell Jim Ross was doing on Friday night. I wasn't there. I flew in on Saturday. And I had kind of a – how do I put this? I don't want to say shitty, but not like a great relationship with Jim Ross over the years. The first time I met Jim Ross was in 1996. I was doing jobs for the WWF at the time. And the first time I met him, Jim Cornette comes up to him, and they were doing the fake Diesel and fake Razor at the time. Do you remember that, Dan, or are you too young for that?
I do remember that, and it was one of those things at the time, because I was one of those people that jumped to WCW. I was like NWO all the way. And when I heard about, I thought someone was making a joke. They were like, "Oh, Diesel and Razor are back. You got to check it out. WWF's great again." And I was like, "No, I thought they were just ribbing me, if you will. And I was like stunned. I was like, really? This is what they're going with. No kidding.
Well, that weekend was the first time that I'd gone up to the WWF to do jobs. Hollywood Bob Starr, beautiful Bob Starr out of Maryland, couldn't make the shot, and he was part of the jobber team at the time. So Tom Brandy, who was playing the part of Salvatore Sincere in WWF, said, "Hey man, there's a spot for you." So, oh, okay, cool. I'm going. So I go up the first night. I do a dark match with Sal Sincere in Hershey, Pennsylvania. This was also the time that, you know, the Fake Razor and Fake Diesel make their triumphant debuts, which wasn't very triumphant. So Jim Cornette, who was always good to me at this point, before he got to Ring of Honor, he introduces me to Jim Ross, and he says, "Well, goddamn, this, Jim Ross, this is your 1-2-3 kid." And Jim Ross shakes my hand, looks at Jim Cornette, doesn't look at me, and says, "I didn't like the first one. Why would I like this one?" I said, "No shit." Right? And he looks at me. He goes, "You're a little skinny, aren't you?" I go, "Yes, sir." He goes, "You have any athletic background?" I go, I played baseball. And he goes like this. He goes, "Baseball? I mean, like real sport, like football." I go, "No." Walks away from me. I mean, that is literally the relationship I had with Jim Ross. And, you know, Paul Heyman used to tell me that, like, Ross would bury me to him when I was in ECW. "I don't see what you see in that kid. He's the shit." And also, in 1998, I was in the WWF dojo with Dory Funk Jr. Leading the crew. And, like, Kurt Angle was in my class, and Tiger Ali Singh, and Sean Stasiak, and Test, and Christopher Daniels. And we were getting our evaluations on the last day. And Jim Ross goes, "Yeah, your in-ring work isn't bad. You can't talk a lick, and you ain't going to make a dime in this business unless you learn how to talk." And I'm thinking, you kidding me? The only thing I can do in wrestling is talk. Like, I would think, like, it would be the opposite. He'd be like, "Your ring work is kind of suspect, but your mic work is phenomenal." Years go by, and I keep hearing through the grapevine that, you know, Jim Ross is not very hateful toward Kevin Kelly and my Ring of Honor weekly television commentary. So I was very intrigued to meet him again after all this time. And I've grown up and out. So I thought, you know what, this is my second chance to make a first impression. You see Jim Ross, he's talking to Kevin Kelly. They look uncomfortable. I walk over and I sneak in. I go, "Nice to see you, sir." He goes, "You too, young fella." I go, "All right." And I just leave. So I'm sitting there on a bench in the locker room, and I'm writing out my notes. And I usually don't make notes for Ring of Honor just because it's you know, a lot of stuff I do is off the cuff. And, you know, it's done by design. They want me to kind of just say what I want to say. But with the New Japan guys there, I had a lot of background. I had a couple jokes. And for you idiots out there, and there was four of you that tweeted me that you didn't like my commentary. My job is to make jokes and to analyze matches. If you don't like my jokes, you probably don't have a sense of humor. Or you have a better sense of humor than I do. But that's what I get paid to do. Don't tell me you ruin my matches, because I'm going to tweet back to you, "Well, then I probably won't get the pay-per-view this week because I'm going to ruin some more for you." And but I got a lot of great ones. It was cool. So Jim Ross sits next to me, and I go, "Shit, I got to make some small talk." So I hit, "How'd everything go last night?" I don't know what the hell he was doing. I just knew he was appearing somewhere. I go, "Well, we got 700 people showed up." I go, cool. "You go home tomorrow?" He goes, yeah, I go home tomorrow. I go, "All right, man, I'm out of small talk." And that was it. So I was like, man, what a miserable person. Like, he gave me nothing. All he did was, and he's a tweeter. He is a, like, he's got like a tweeting addiction. He's just down there with his Twitter all the time. So tweet him. He's on his damn phone tweeting. So the show starts, and it was a great show. I can't wait to hear what you thought of it, Dan. But before we get into it, I made a reference to, hey, or Kevin Kelly says, "Hey, you know, I saw you talking to Jim Ross. How was it?" I go, "Well, after 3 minutes, we had nothing to talk about." Then he goes, then I made a Jim Ross crack of, you know, that I buried him to the office so he doesn't try and get our job. Now, he's not trying to get our job, so if you don't want to write a thing like, oh, my God, he's trying to get his job. No, he's not trying to get a job. I'm sure he wants a better paying job than what Ring of Honor is paying us right now. And they pay us handsomely, but, you know, he's probably looking for sexy pay. And then my last one I hit was he was complaining to Kevin Kelly about how guys use too many super kicks or 10 punches in the corner. And I'm thinking, I look at my format, here come the Young Bucks. And I thought, this is going to be funny. And I look over and I'm waiting for Jim Ross to watch some of the match, but he really wasn't. I mean, I think he watched Steen's match and Briscoe's match, but I don't think he really paid the Young Bucks attention. Probably around the fifth super kick, I yell out, how many more super kicks until Jim Ross gets hot? Yeah.
Steve.
So what did you think of Global Wars, Dan?
Well, just a quick comment on Jim Ross first. I do listen to the hit that other show that he puts on weekly. And it seems like sometimes when you hear one episode of his, you hear them all, because he has this whole segment at the beginning where he just kind of talks about what's wrong with the business today. And then when he goes and does interviews, he usually asks a few questions, but he always goes back to, what do you think of the Undertaker streak? What do you think of Daniel Bryan? And then even awkwardly asks everybody about CM Punk, too. Even Lita, he asks about CM Punk, and then, you know, she kind of brushed it off. I mean, those are his go-to. Once you get past that, you're pretty much heard every interview that he's ever done on the podcast. But one thing that he always did with Ring of Honor was talk about how everybody moves too fast and, you know, guys need to slow it down a little bit. I don't know if that talking point came up too in your conversation.
Oh, it didn't come in at all. Like, he didn't talk to me about wrestling at all. And I was hoping that he would, because in my, like, wrestling's changed. It's never going to go be – it's not going to be Dick Murdoch and Adrian Adonis versus Rocky Johnson and Tony Atlas anymore. Or it's not going to be, you know, a match where two guys are nice and slow and they use the psychology and bullshit like that, man. Wrestling's so entertainment and so evolved that, you know, everything that they do is fun and good, and I have no problem with today's wrestling. It's just – craziness that, like, these guys, and I always call it the bitter juice, you know, the old timers that sit there and, oh, back in my day it was so much better because it was wrestling and it was real.
Yeah, too fast and too many high spots in matches. And it's funny though, because in the same you know, monologue about that stuff, he'll turn around and be like, I'm really looking forward to Ring of Honor and New Japan getting together. And so, I mean, in a way, he probably did sell a few shows inadvertently, you know, trying to get people interested in another product. But, you know, again, you got to kind of weed through a lot of negativity and bitterness before you get to, hey, check these guys out. I think they're putting on an exciting product.
And that's the thing. I hate the negative part about pro wrestling. There's no reason for it. It's fun. Guys overthink it. People overthink it, and they analyze it, and they write the reviews, and they're scathing, and I'm thinking, why the hell are you even watching? I don't like the girl from Wendy's commercials, so I don't go to Wendy's. I don't bitch about it online. I just hate her face, so I don't go to Wendy's. I don't go to Sonic because I hate that guy that's in the passenger seat. I wish a truck would go and hit him. So I don't go to Sonic, but I don't bitch about it online. People bitch too much. Just relax and have fun with it. That's the way what's supposed to be. Hey, killing me. So what did you think of the show?
Well, Steve, I have a confession to make. And I think now, for the first time in our brief history together, I think the Twitter love might come to an end, or at least on my end, because I did not get a chance to watch the show this weekend.
No.
I said
what
I was
going.
I said I was going to, and I'm not going to give you a bunch of excuses like I was house sitting and the dogs were crazy that I was watching, and, you know, I worked too hard on Tuesday and I didn't have a chance to watch it before we got on the air. I'm not going to give you that. But what I will tell you is I went into Best Buy today because you and I talked a little bit about Blazing Saddles and how it's on Blu-ray. So I was
I need to get it.
Well, I was thinking, I was like, well, maybe if I do this, maybe if I come to you today and say, hey, you know what, I didn't watch your pay-per-view, but I did get Blazing Saddles on Blu-ray, then you'd go easy on me. So anyway, long story short, I didn't get Blazing Saddles either because I was too distracted by WrestleMania 30 coming out today in Blu-ray. And it was right there in my face as I first walked into the building.
I am absolutely amazed that they already have that out. Like, it just happened like a month ago.
Right, right. And as soon as it had gone off the air, it was available on the network. You know, so it was like, anybody who wanted to see it has probably seen it by now.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. Yeah, wait, so you have the network and then you bought it on DVD. You're one of those guys that needs to hold it, don't you?
I am definitely the guy that is going to keep WWE in business. Basically, it's like, here, Mr. McMahon, here is my money. Please take it, sir. I will, you know, I'm going to keep coming back no matter what you do. But, you know, I think we talked about this before we went on the air. It's like, there might be a time where there is no network. I know it sounds shocking now today, but now I have this little box and a couple discs, and now I could put in someday when I'm 90 if I wanted to.
You're single, aren't you?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah. When you get married, you're going to end up at a flea market one day. You'll be negotiating with some dirt bag with a fanny pack and a, you know, and he'll be saying, you know, what do you want for that Blu-ray? Oh, yeah. Welcome to my world. Hey, have you seen Frozen? Talking about like Blu-ray, have you seen Frozen?
You know, I work with a lot of women, speaking of being single, and they've all seen Frozen. I feel like I've seen it. I've heard all the songs, but I have not actually watched the movie in its entirety.
Greatest movie ever. I mean, I love Field of Dreams. Field of Dreams is one of my favorite movies. Somewhere in Time is another favorite movie. I love The Godfather. I love The Untouchables. Goodfellas. There's so many great movies out there. Frozen's it. Oh, my goodness. Maybe because it was like my first Blu-ray that we've ever bought. And I have a PS3, so I got the Blu-ray player in there. And it's the first time I've ever watched something on Blu-ray in our own house. And blew my mind. My wife, my 5-month-old, and I just sat there, and you know, we were, you know, singing and smiling and almost crying. And I don't want to spoil it for you since you're the last person in America that hasn't seen it, but it was absolutely great. I was driving around in my van today, and I have XM radio, and the song comes on, Let It Go, and oh my goodness, I was singing it. I took a picture and I tweeted it to my wife, and you know, she asked if I was gay, but it was great. I don't mind. And but I definitely recommend, you gotta get Frozen. It was absolutely amazing. And moving on, did you know Casey Kasem is missing?
As in,
yeah, like no one can find him. This guy's 82 years old, and he's got dementia or something. I forgot. No, that was the joke. But and he is missing. But how do you miss an 82-year-old person? That's what boggles me. No one sees an 82-year-old person walking around or, you know, in a gutter or anything like that. Most homeless people I know are probably in their 30s, 40s. You know, I don't know what the age of an old homeless person is, and it's in freaking L.A.
Well, particularly with those pipes, too. You'd figure he'd be, like, at a convenience store ordering something or at a restaurant or at a bus stop, and it'd be like, hey, wait, that guy sounds an awful lot like Casey Kasem. Hey, look at that. It is Casey Kasem.
Yeah, look at him at the corner touching himself. Oh, that old man must be, you know, something must be wrong with him. Yeah, so somebody find Casey Kasem. I don't want to go to the food line tomorrow and see him on my milk carton. Now, I don't know if you're a fan, but I'm a huge fan of The Goldbergs, which plays on Tuesday nights on ABC. And to give everybody a quick background, The Goldbergs is about an 80s family in Philadelphia, starring Adam Goldberg, who writes the show, and it's basically his life. Well, last week they had an episode where the older brother, Barry, who is amazing, like comedic actor, he goes out for the wrestling team, but they can't convince him that it's not professional wrestling. It's amateur wrestling. And all he wants to do is, like, do moves, and there's name dropping. And it was such a great episode, and then the other like sub story was Star Wars. So like, what a nerd paradise in 22 minutes. You have professional wrestling from the 80s and Star Wars. I just found the episode perfect because I'm not a Star Wars fan. I'm a pro wrestling fan, and a lot of Star Wars fans aren't pro wrestling fans. So you got a little bit of the both. And at the end, the graphic was up and it said dedicated to the Ultimate Warrior. And I thought that was super cool in today's world when professional wrestling still kind of looked upon as, a circus form of entertainment, that they gave a great, great shout out to, a tragedy. Dancing with the Stars. Oh, we're in our semifinals. I have a DVR. If I don't watch it by Friday, you better not give me a spoiler. And luckily, I will. Hopefully, my wife and I will watch it. So it's going to be great. Now, before we go to break and before we find out where the Steve Corino show is, I need to give a shout out to Starbucks. Now, I've been critical of Starbucks before, but a couple of years ago, I was riding with Claudio Castagnoli, who's now Cesaro in the WWE, and I noticed that he had a gold card from Starbucks, and I thought, this is the coolest thing ever. I said, how did you get one? And in his Swiss voice, he tells me that, oh, you just have to sign up, and after 30 coffees on your card, then you get a gold card with your name on it. And that was my goal. Every weekend that I would ride with Claudio and Sarah Del Rey and the ROH crew, we would stop at Starbucks multiple times because I wanted this gold card. So, but every year you got to buy 30 cups of coffee, or you go back down to the jabroni level. I'm at 29 when I get to England, and I have 10 days to go. Now, I don't have any Starbucks near me on the island. The closest one is about 20 miles in Jacksonville and 20 miles in Morehead City. There's 16 Dunkin' Donuts by that time. So I usually go there, and then I go to Starbucks on the road. I'm in England. I'm at Stansted Airport in London, and I know that there's a Starbucks right outside the airport. I've stopped there 5 or 6 times over the years. Here's number 30. I go in, plus I get wireless. I can check in with my wife on WhatsApp. I go in, and the card reader is broken. And I said, oh, holy shit, what? Wait, what? Oh, yeah, we can't take the card. Oh, no way. So I pay cash for it, and then I think to myself, not letting it go. Let it go. See, if you watch Frozen, you'll always sing it as soon as you say let it go. I take a picture of the sign at Starbucks that says card reader down, sorry, and I take a picture of the Dave Bautista that was making my coffee, and I say, you know what? I am going to email Starbucks when I get home and ask them, like, hey, can I have credit for this? So I sent an email out to them thinking they're going to shit all over me. Guess what? Today, I get a nice email for them saying that they were sorry, and I got 2 stars instead of 1 for the inconvenience. Needless to say, gold. Till 2015. Starbucks, it's a big thumbs up. Not a thumb in your bum, like people heard me say on the ROH pay-per-view. That's all right. It's a big move. I'll be having new thumb in the bum shirts made. So, Dan?
Yes?
Where can you find the Steve Corino Show?
Well, sir, I'm glad you asked, as always. Actually, I found a new way for you to listen to the Steve Corino Show just this past weekend when I was not watching your pay-per-view. But anyway, well, more on that later. You can find Steve Corino Show in any of the following ways by visiting the placetoveepods.com and clicking on the new Steve Corino Show banner or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. In addition, just by subscribing to the Place to Be podcast feed on iTunes, you will automatically receive the latest episodes of the Steve Corino Show. You can also visit Stitcher.com and subscribe to the Place to Be podcast or download the Place to Be Nation's podcast app by hitting up placetobe.podbean.com/mobile, on your iPhone or iPad devices. Be sure to also follow us on Twitter at PlaceToBeNation and at Steve Carino Show, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/PlaceToBeNation. Finally, if you have questions or suggestions for this program, email us at Steve Carino Show at PlaceToBeNation.com, or tweet us at Steve Carino Show. And that new way, Steve, I don't know if you have this because you have a different device than I do. I have the Roku 3 on my for my network viewing.
Wait, and, what's that? What's Roku 3?
Roku 3, R-O-K-U, number 3. It's one of those streaming boxes, kind of like an Apple TV. But what it does is you can, you know, kind of view internet programming, your Netflix, YouTube, Hulu, WWE Network, HBO Go, and you don't necessarily need cable per se. You just need high speed internet, and you can view all those things on this Roku box. Well, long story short, there are a lot of what they call like secret channels or private channels, and there's a private channel called Apple iTunes Podcast. It's quote iTunes Podcast. And if you type in Place to Be Nation on that channel, what pops up is the feed for Place to Be Nation. And that includes, and up until recently, the number one or the most recent edition, the most recent episode on that feed was Steve Carino Show Episode 3. So there's another way you can listen to our program. Yeah.
Well, thank you for making us number one somewhere, even if it's just in line.
That's right.
I'm excited. The secret channels, like, why would you want to have a secret channel? Wouldn't you want, you know, everybody to watch you?
It's kind of set up like iTunes in the sense that, you know, Roku has like a channels like shop that you can like find the things that you want to view, and then you download them like you would an app, and then they become part of your channel lineup. But there are certain ones that you actually have to like look up online. They're not in the store. They exist, but they're not available through the Roku shop, if you will. And the iTunes podcast one is kind of a hidden one. It's not necessarily in the shop. And I happened to be just stumbled upon it over the weekend and was like, I wonder if I could view Steve Carino's show on here, and then I could talk about it during segment one. And sure enough, it worked. It works fine. So you can actually kind of have us on your television while you're cleaning your house, let's say.
Very, very interesting. Love it. I'm so glad I'm with the Place to Be a Nation. You guys are exposing my brand. Hey, when we come back, two guests, the voice guy, Steve Goff. Funny guy, you're gonna really enjoy him. He's got like a great DJ voice. And then professional wrestler American Tiger will be in the house. Whew. All this and more. This is the Steve Carino Show.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week, PlaceToBeNation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, PlaceToBeNation.com.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Goo Goo Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
It's
So you've got the script, yeah? You've all got it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, this sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant, sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
Week Steve Carino show. Double guest this week. I triple guest last week. One other podcast gives you two guests, one show. It's me, Steve Carino show. Hashtag that shit. Hashtag Steve Carino show. On Twitter, follow us at Steve Carino show. Dan did all of that cool stuff of where to find us, including on Roku. I don't even know if that's a real thing. Doesn't sound it, but you know, I'll check it out. Now, my first guest tonight is an old friend of mine, and he's currently in between Bay City and Lansing, Michigan, but we got him on the telephone. My buddy, the voice guy, Steve Goff. Steve, how you doing tonight?
What's happening, King? Great to be here, man.
I'm so happy to have you. How's it feel to know that you made the Steve Carino show before Ricky Landau?
Well, I wouldn't have expected anything less.
Right?
Wait, Ricky who? Ricky
yeah,
who?
Right? He's hot about it.
Somebody is.
To give people a background of mine and Steve's relationship, it started out as, if I'm right, you were a fan at an awesome meet and greet that we had.
Well, I think it'd be better, Steve. I this is your show, but this is so cool. I knew this is a premonition. Like, I don't believe in that kind of stuff, but I'm going to tell you, November to remember 2000, when you won that title and pointed to Colby's name on your wrist, man, I cried. And I said to myself, one day, I'm going to meet that guy. So, yes, fast forward a few years, my son sees that wrestling's coming to town, and I'm like, dude, Steve Carino, are you kidding me? We're so there. And then it goes from there.
Yeah, and we met and sat down at a Buffalo Wild Wings or some sort of place
yes.
like that, Bay City?
And one of the coolest things that you've ever done, and you and I have known each other for a long time. We've been through a lot of fun things, inappropriate things, appropriate things, all over the place. But you warned me about Virgil looking to charge people for photos. And you said, hey, you know what, man? He's going to take a picture with you, but just watch out. So that was fun.
Still does it. Yeah, we hit it off right away. And, as you can tell by Steve's voice, Steve is a voice guy with experience in radio and voiceover ads. And how many different stations were you on at one time? Were you doing a couple different shows on radio at like one time from your house?
Yeah, like I was the afternoon host for a radio station in the Outer Banks of North Carolina. So every day I'd be like, you know, because from what I hear, it's a beautiful place, you know, sunny and 85 today here in the Outer Banks, you know, from Hatteras to, you know, Stevens Point or whatever the cities were. Yeah. And I had to ham it up. And I'll be honest, I've never been to the OBX. I've seen bumper stickers. Everybody's got bumper stickers. And I hear it's a gorgeous place, but never stepped foot there. Did a radio show for 4 years from my basement in cold, snowy Michigan. And just talked about how gorgeous it was on the Outer Banks. So that's just one of those things. And I spent a lot of my time in radio in Michigan, you know, country radio, but would also do a country radio show in the afternoon. But before that, I'd go into the oldie studio and be their midday guy. That's kind of when I figured, man, I'm really stretching myself then. I got to go into business for myself. So I kind of just jettisoned the radio thing.
And you've done a lot of voiceover stuff. When we were doing the Extreme Odd Couple podcast, you did voiceovers for that. And any wrestling show that I run, you always do the voiceovers for. Yeah, I mean, even the commercial for this is going to play on Friday, so the commercial for Friday. Now, a quick funny story is back in, I want to say it was it 07, 06?
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite movies is Somewhere in Time. With Christopher Reeve and Jane Seymour, and you know, it's a very romantic movie, and we just happened to plan on going to Mackinac Island in Michigan. And if you've ever seen Mackinac Island in the Grand Hotel, it's literally an island. There's no cars allowed on there, so you have to go, and you're in basically a horse and buggy anywhere you go. And at the time, like, me and Steve, and I tell my wife this story, and she just shakes her head, but me and Steve were like little kids. We were going in every shop and looking for, you know, Jane Seymour and Christopher Reeve merchandise, and we went to the Grand Hotel. We even went up to the room that Christopher Reeve goes to find Jane Seymour, and we take pictures and everything like that. My wife to this day still thinks we made out that day.
I'll never tell. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
she's
right?
Just jealous. But the bottom line was, we went to the actual room. Like, we were on a mission.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Somebody make a diversion, distract that security guard so we can go and, like, you know, lick the wall where they were.
and it's just like, so every once in a while, like, I'll pop the movie in and I'll see, like, Christopher Reeve go up to the door. And I'm thinking, oh, man, me and Steve were up there, like, sneaking and, you know, jutting and jiving around and, you know, hey, here we are. And I thought it was great. Now, Steve, how old are you?
42.
42. Now, you're and some older than me. You sent me the greatest text last week, and it was last Wednesday, and this is literally the text that he sent. Hey, boss, made a diving play tonight at third base. Dove to stop a hot grounder between me and the shortstop, .. Hurt my shoulder and knocked the wind out of myself, but threw the ball to second, to Kate, his wife. Actually, as she was playing second, got the force out. I was seeing stars for a while. I'm too old for this shit. And then he hashtags the text, old fat dude problems.
Right? I mean, you don't know anything about that. You and I are both, well, I heard you say on your last podcast, I'm trying to be topical here, that you're down to, I think you're below that line. I'm right now at about a nifty 250. I got to drop some LBs, man. I got to get that off the middle. I can't help it.
I'm 250. Yeah,
see,
like
we need to go on a mission together and you know, run up and down the stairs at the Grand Hotel at Mackinac Island again, like Rocky, only on Mackinac Island, and lose some weight together. We got to get on.
I got to do something. Like, my wife's in great shape. I saw Tanahashi New Japan on Saturday at the pay-per-view, and he goes, "Oh, Carino, so good to see you." And then he, like, looks at my stomach and goes, "Oh, you so big." I go, "Yeah, you have some balls." And I was totally offended by it. But then I thought, like, yeah, I am kind of big. But I'm just...
But just let me tell you this, because I'm in the safety of my vehicle. I'm in the safety of my vehicle, so I can say this. I'm 1,000 miles away from you. You are so over-chick, dude. Your wife is amazing. Amazing.
No.
What is she doing with you?
Right, and she just got new glasses, too. I'm thinking, ah, oh, there it is.
Glasses,
it's over.
Dude. My wife works at the doctor's office, so I can tell you I've got that same thing, dude. I look in the mirror every day and go, I am one lucky fella, because...
You are. Yeah, your wife's beautiful.
Seriously.
We totally overachieved. We should start the
Overachievers
Club.
I guess so. Hey, and the good news is we're earning points by saying that, so we'll go into the next week with some credits. Gotta love that.
I don't know if my wife listens. My mother-in-law listens. She's like, I think I sounded pretty good last week.
Yeah, let me just say, your mother-in-law sounded awesome. She sounds like a sweetheart. I love
Jordan's. Cool.
Jordan sounded fantastic, too. She sounded so great. She's got a lot of spice in her. You know, I can see she's gives you a run for your money. But, you know, I got to tell you, what made my heart so proud was my main gal, Mama C, on the show, man. I love your mom so much. And I have to say, I've had many. I mean, I'm not just some fanboy, okay? I've crossed that threshold, folks that are listening. I'm not just Steve's number one fan. I am a huge fan. I really am. Not just because I have a huge belly. But one of my favorite moments, aside from in front of my television, literally not quite as bad as the "it's still real to me, damn it" guy, but more like, this guy is sweet. He's paying homage to his son on his wrist. My favorite Steve Carino, I'm a huge Carino Mark moment, was when we were at an AWA Continental CWF show, Mid-Atlantic, There you go. Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah, Mid-Atlantic. They're still around.
I'm sitting there next to Mama C, and we're watching your match, right? And we're both talking. Your mom and I hit it off immediately, as you know. I mean, I miss her. I hope you'll tell her I said hello and give her a hug for me. She, we're sitting there watching, dude, and we are on the edge of our seats, and she looks over at me and goes, hey, you're marking out a little bit.
that's my mom.
Gotta love Mama C.
Oh, hey, for people that want to see you on social media, where do they catch you?
At SWG Voice Guy is my Twitter handle. Is it handle? I don't know.
You gotta start tweeting more.
Dude, I know, right? I'm more like I said. I did something earlier today where I hashtagged it with "I'm a lurker, not a tweeter." I just mean like I have all my friends there that I love to follow because I feel like everybody's a lot more witty than I am. But I make a promise to you, I will start tweeting more. And I'm on Facebook.
You'll get into it too. It's so much fun.
I love following, but I'm verbose, man. I'm the voice guy. I talk all the time. Jeez, I can see my wife when she hears this. She's gonna roll her eyes and be like, "Yeah, that talks too much disturbs others thing you used to get on your high school report cards continues on to this day, pal." You know, my kids hate listening to me. My wife hates listening to me. It's just one of those things, and 140 characters just isn't enough. So, you know, but whatever. I get paid to talk, so kind of one of those deals.
You find out you find out how witty you can be in 140 characters. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, but it's so much. I mean, you're the king of old school, but you're also the king of one-liners. So, I mean, come on. That was built for you.
I try, and my five-month-old's pretty witty on his Twitter, too.
Back.
That little kid pissed on me tonight.
He fist-bumped you?
No, he pissed on me. Did you say
he pissed on you?
Yeah, he pissed on me.
And then gave me like a rite of passage.
Yeah. Huh?
It's a rite of passage, but you've already been through that once. I'm sure Colby did the same thing.
He did that to me on Bourbon Street.
That's another story for another time, my friend.
Right, absolutely. Hey, Steve, thank you for coming on with us this week. Yeah, and this is my buddy, Steve the Voice Guy, and you know, people want to hear him talk. You know, we're going to get him to do some liners for the Steve Corino Show. If you order PWF DVDs, you'll hear his voice before title matches and stuff like that. So I always feel like he's there, and hopefully he'll come visit me in Emerald Isle, North Carolina sometime this summer, come see the baby and everything like that.
Soon, my friend. Thanks again for having me.
Hey, thank you. That was the voice guy, Steve Goff. When we come back, American Tiger joins the Steve Corino Show. It's the Steve Corino Show, and our second guest tonight is a young man who is blazing independent scene right now. He's a big high flyer and a shit kicker himself. Ladies and gentlemen, he'll be appearing tonight at the Hubert Bingo Hall, 400 Hubert Boulevard in Hubert, North Carolina. A lot of Huberts. Hubert, North Carolina, for the Premier Wrestling Federation. It is my honor to bring on the American Tiger. Tiger, how are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. I need to right away congratulate you and say how unique your Skype picture is. And for people, we're not going to be able to put it up on the website, but apparently the best picture that I can draw everybody is American Tiger is in the middle in what may be two older, can I say men or are they women?
They're most definitely men.
Transvestites have their tongue out almost in your ear.
Yes. Yep.
Woo. Now, Tiger, let's get a little background. You've been wrestling for a few years now, and you wear a mask. What are your influences in professional wrestling?
I mean, I grew up watching Tiger Mask versus Dynamite Kid. They're some of my favorite matches still to this day. So that combined with like watching all like Black Tiger, who's now Rocky Romero, and Tiger Mask 2, Misawa. And four, they've been some of my favorite wrestlers, and I just wanted to continue on the name in America.
It's very good. Now, a lot of the wrestlers today, they see you and they know that you're still a teenager on your way to a college career. You have an amateur background. You're a very good amateur in high school. You bring that style into professional wrestling, which is rare for a junior heavyweight. And I think that makes you unique. But one of the comparisons that you get a lot is El Generico. How does that make you feel?
I mean, I've also, these past few years, I started watching Ring of Honor more frequently since 2009. So I watched a lot of El Generico, and I learned a lot from him. And I was always at ROH shows, front row watching him, and it was just something to see. And I want to honor him, and he's so good, I want to learn from him.
And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, you've trained with some of the best wrestlers in the entire world, whether it be Davey Richards from TNA. You've been in there with El Generico, who's now Sami Zayn in NXT. And one of the biggest influences in your training is a guy that's, you know, really lighting it up on Raw every week. And Cesaro, and you did a lot of road trips with him, as a teenager while he was still on the independent scene. What kind of stuff did you learn from Cesaro?
He taught me a lot of actual holds and more making everything more fluid and teaching me more technique than anything.
That's great, and you could tell you have a very big technical background, and we're our guest this week, our second guest this week, is American Tiger, once again, who will be performing tonight at the Hubert Bingo Hall in Hubert, North Carolina for the Premier Wrestling Federation. Tonight, it's you and Andrew Everett going after the PWF World 1 Tag Team titles against James Anthony and Victor Andrews. Now, you have four junior heavyweights in there for the tag team titles. What can the fans that come to the show tonight expect?
They can expect to see a lot of high-flying, hard-hitting action between me and Drew. And they could probably expect some stuff to happen between me and James Anthony, who do have a past that's pretty checkered.
Hey, absolutely. Going over your sheet here, I have to read up a lot on these guys, Dan. It says here that you defeated James Anthony last summer for the Ring Warriors Carolina No Limits Championship, and that you guys have feuded off and on in different independent promotions. Now, people can, and I don't know how, people can see your schedule at www.worldofcarino.com. It's just absolutely amazing that it be on there. But I want to talk about...
Thank you for the plug.
You're very welcome. You're a nice young man. That's why I would do it.
Now, Steve, hold on just a second. I mean, I know you do a lot of research on this, on your guests, and everybody seems to love talking to you, but it seems like his friends are your friends, and your friends are his friends, and you know his schedule. You obviously have encountered this gentleman in the past.
Oh yeah, I mean we've been in locker rooms together, right?
Yeah, you've taught me a lot about. I've been to a few of your seminars.
Right, we've hung out before. We know the same circle of friends. We both love Adam Cole.
Yeah, he's hottie.
Oh, he's sexy. Now and then, also this past WrestleMania weekend, we saw each other a lot. We were at WrestleCon together. He refereed my match against Freight Train. Yeah, way to screw me over on that one, Tiger.
Well, and you can't bring chairs in the ring. What can I say?
And you can get that DVD on highspots.com. But don't go to High Spots. Go to worldofcarino.com. Click on the High Spots logo. You'll go. You'll buy that DVD plus some old school DVDs, and they'll kick some money back to me in American Tiger. I mean, to me. And, but we hung out a lot. We actually hung out on Bourbon Street.
Oh, what a crazy time.
Well, I had given American Tiger a little heads up about Bourbon Street, him being a teenager. He doesn't exactly, it's not something you talk about in social studies class or with your buddies. He had no idea about Bourbon Street. Now, American Tiger arrived in New Orleans the day before I did. By the time that I arrived, American Tiger was the mayor of Bourbon Street somehow. And I have to tell you something. Tiger and I talk about all the time. The night before I arrived for Ring of Honor, I was getting texts from American Tiger, and there's pictures with the Romantic Touch, and there's pictures with Sami Zayn. And I lean over to my wife at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I said, "Hey, I think Tiger's drunk on Bourbon Street." And my wife, without even opening her eyes, goes, "At least he's not a girl." And I said, "You know what? You're absolutely right." Now, Tiger, I want you to give the fans out there watching on the Steve Corino Show a little background on your weekend in Bourbon Street.
Oh, I had no idea what to expect going in. I got off the plane at 9:18, and I'm voxing a lot of my friends who are also wrestlers, Will Ferreira, one of them being, and he's saying, "Oh, you got to come down to Bourbon Street." I'm sitting in my hotel room, and I'm going, "What is Bourbon Street?" I figure, all right, might go out for an hour, come back. I go out and I see all these neon signs and all people just lining the streets, alcohol just flowing. And the first night, it came to the picture, what's called the that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, the picture, again, is American Tiger and two lady men's of the night.
They had to be 60 years old, too. At least.
Yeah. At least they were legal getting in the bar. Or you're outside, aren't you?
I was outside at this point, yeah.
Well, let me give everybody my experience with you on Bourbon Street on Saturday night after $5 Wrestling. It's what, 2 o'clock in the morning already?
Something like that around there.
We together go down Bourbon Street and we see some of the Ring of Honor guys, and all of a sudden I say, You go your way and I go mine. And I was a little concerned because, you know, you're not of age and you're in the big city. And New Orleans is not really a place where you go to church in that street. So I go into the bar and, you know, I'm talking with some ROH and Dragon Gate USA guys. And all of a sudden, who do I see in this bar? I see one American Tiger. And I go, "How the hell did you get in here?" And you just smile and I go, "You kidding me?" And a lot of people don't realize, and they won't for a while now, that if there ever comes a time when your mask gets pulled off, you already have a second identity, don't you?
Oh, yeah. People have no idea what I look like underneath this, but I don't think they want to either.
And when they do, and when they figure out who you are and everything like that, there's going to be a whole different story that we're going to have to bring on the Steve Corino Show. Hey, Tiger, we're going to wrap up here in a couple seconds. Where can people find you on Twitter?
They can find me at GoAmericanTiger and give me a follow, a few retweets, buy some shirts from Pro Wrestling Tees.
Which, coincidentally, you can find American Tiger t-shirts on the Steve Corino store on Pro Wrestling Tees. That's pretty awesome.
Wait, time out. Steve, come on. I mean, you guys basically finish each other's sentences. You can get his shirts at your website. I mean, what is going on here? I mean, you guys are more than just friends. This is too much of a coincidence.
No. Stop with your accusations and speculations. I'm just a veteran that likes to help out the next generation of professional wrestlers. Am I right, Tiger?
You're absolutely right.
See, that's what it is. He's a Boston guy. Yeah, they're always full of, you know, conspiracies and stuff like that.
Actually, from New York, but
yeah, it's true. You are from New York, and I live in North Carolina. So, what kind of connection?
What are you making there?
But don't forget, go buy your American Tiger t-shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees. Follow him on Twitter, Go American Tiger. And once again, he will be performing, high flying and, you know, probably trying to pick up young ladies at the Hubert Bingo Hall tonight, 7:30 bell time, 400 Hubert Boulevard, Hubert, North Carolina. And you can go to the website, www.prowrestlingpwf.com. And that's going to be Go American Tiger, Andrew Everett, against James Anthony and Victor Andrews. Also, you got Mr. Wrestling 3 versus C.W. Anderson. Atu Arkham against JoJo Dancer. You're going to see former NFL superstar Moose Ojanaka is on the card. $5 for kids under 13, $10 for adults. You can't beat it. Go American Tiger. I want to thank you for coming on the Steve Carino Show. And hey, I would love to have you on again.
Oh, I'd love to be on. Thank you for having me on, Steve.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the American Tiger. He's got a big tag team title match tonight. He's also the PWF Junior Heavyweight Champion. He should be a double champion. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk about some Twitter questions, some Facebook questions, some emails, and I'm going to plug the hell out of everything. This is the Steve Carino Show.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com, as well as the Brad and Chad Show, and I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. Hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week, it's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. Please, please, please check this podcast out, because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block for Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's Main Event.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, Giorgio Bellino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys MMA Blitz.
Forget about it. Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. And a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place Simulation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
We're back for what sometimes is my favorite segment of the show. Now I want to thank the voice guy, Steve Goff. I want to thank American Tiger for being on the Steve Carino Show. Next week, we have former AWA jobber. If you have ESPN, you've probably seen him getting beat by multiple guys. And he did WWF jobs, and we'll talk about that. And he's the current Brew City Wrestling out of Milwaukee promoter. Frankie DeFalco will be joining us on the Steve Carino Show. But it's Twitter Q&A and Love Time. This is where we go over different questions and comments from our fans. And you can always get with us. Send us a tweet at Steve Carino Show. Send us an email, stevecarinoshow@placetobenation.com, stevecarinoshow@gmail.com. Or you go on the Facebook. Oh, wait. Nah, don't go on Facebook. Just ask us, you know, some questions. And most likely, if they're not really stupid, we are going to answer them the best way possible. Now, we got some really good ones. I looked them over. Dan sent me a whole list of them. So I was actually excited to answer some of these. Got some from the email. And just like every week, we make it sound like we've been on forever. Just like every week, Dan and I will be going back and forth which with ones. And I am going to start this week. I think I gave Dan the start last week. First one comes to us via Facebook, from our secret Facebook page, from Brad, PTBN. He says, Steve, how many belts from different smaller promotions do you hold today? Whew, good question. As of right now, I am the Bruce City Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. That's out of Milwaukee. I'm also the Premier Championship Wrestling Heavyweight Champion out of Winnipeg. Two championships right now. But in my whole career, I have held 65. Can you believe that? 65 different championships.
Steve, I once had a foam tag team championship belt that I got at a house show back in 1991. And it was really funny because my friend who went with me at the time, we made our own Power and Glory t-shirts. And we were so hoping that they would win the titles that day so we could have the Power and Glory shirts with our belts. But they ended up losing to the Hart Foundation, and it never happened. But it was a great story that I was so hoping I could share on this podcast.
Well, I'm glad you got to share it. I just looked on worldofcarino.com just to make sure that I was right. Can you believe that in 20 years I've held 66 different championships, 90 title reigns, which means that I've held titles multiple times. And, I mean, we're not talking Jerry Lawler, 26 Southern heavyweight titles, but, man, they're, you know, I'm going over it. If you go to worldofcarino.com, you'll see a list of all the championships and some good pictures, too. You could see me when I was young, getting heavier and heavier, blonder, back to dark, a little pink, back to blonde, an awful picture from Puerto Rico. And, 66 different titles, independent titles. And I've only killed about four companies. So the old bullshit that Steve Carino kills companies, it's only a small percentage of times. All right, what do you got for me?
All right, Steve, we got at Steve J. Rogers, J.R., who his real name is actually Steve Rogers. It's kind of what you come to expect with a name like that. He actually writes for us on Place to Be Nation. He does a lot of sports stuff, and he actually chimes in with a little bit of a baseball comment and a question. He writes, 500, and I assume that means home runs, 500 has never been the same since your boy Schmidt did it. Of course, being a big Phillies fan, I can see where he's going there. He also writes, what was the strangest slash Markish question slash comment you've ever gotten, probably besides the one he just asked?
You know what? That might be right. 500 home runs hasn't really been the same since Michael Jack Schmidt did it in, you people, if you could YouTube how great that call Harry Callis was when he, Michael Jack Schmidt number 500, and I still think of it to this day. That might be true, and I want to say that was 1987 when Schmidt hit his 500th home run in Pittsburgh. The young 14-year-old Steve Carino remembers that. And I remember that Mike Schmidt actually retired on my 16th birthday, and I was so pissed because I thought, well, I'm going to get my driver's license, and I can drive down to Veterans Stadium and watch Mike Schmidt. And he retired on my birthday. It was good. But strangest Markish question that I've or comment that I've ever gotten. There's a few. One that really bothered me was I was selling merchandise at a show in Burlington, North Carolina. And this is probably 2007. And I'm sitting there with Ricky Landell, and we were the AWA Tag Team Champions at the time. And a guy walks up, very Southern, and I mean Southern, goes, Steve Carino. Man, I thought you died. I said, wait, what? He goes, I read you died. I go, no. He goes, are you sure? I go, yeah. He goes, yeah, because, man, you used to come on WWE with that Sonny. I go, oh, no, you're thinking of Chris Candido. He goes, nope, Steve Carino. Are you sure you're him? I swear he died. There was a memorial show for him and everything. I go, no, man, I'm pretty sure I'm alive. Yeah, I mean, you get some weird questions. But that was probably the weirdest. I mean, I've gotten some from some weird girls before, but, you know, we can't talk about them online or on the air because, you know, they're weird. Definite weird. All right, what do I got here? Oh, Stephen J. Sutton is back this week. I'm still going to call him Stefan until he changes it. He writes, what was going through your head when Sandman was getting naked in the ring in Pensacola, Florida? Ooh. Now, this is back in 2000. I got to give you a little background story on this. Tommy Dreamer and I developed this match that was amazing. It was so cool. And it just started on house shows, and it was a way to get everybody involved in this, like, hour-long match. And we did it in so many towns. This is before the internet would really see that every result was the same. And usually we would switch up the finishing. But it would start off with me on the microphone. Here comes Dreamer. Dreamer says something. I attack Dreamer. Dreamer starts getting up on me. Here comes Jack Victory. Now it's 2-on-1. We do something. We hit the high spot. Here comes someone else's music. Maybe, oh, hell. Tajiri. Here comes Tajiri. Tajiri runs in, blah, 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 blah. He starts making a comeback. Boom, boom, boom. Here comes Scotty Riggs. And now Scotty Riggs is in, and it's 3-on-2. And then it's here comes the Sandman, and it's the 7-minute entrance. And here comes Sandman. And, you know, the baby faces are up on us. But this time we're 25, 30 minutes in. Here, you know, the baby faces are up. Here comes Rhino. Gore, gore, gore. Gore's everybody. Something, we're beating up the baby faces. And then, psh, here comes New Jack's music. And then, like, here comes New Jack. And then, basically, the match starts. It's this awesome 4-on-4, like, war. And, you know, it would be funny. Guys would go over, you know, these are the days when you could do this shit. Guys would go into the crowd, and you'd be all over the place. And it was... By the time that you got back in the ring and everybody did their normal stuff, we were an hour in, and it was always super exciting. And it would always end up with, you know, a different finish, but we you know, to keep it fresh. And Paul Heyman wouldn't come to most of the house shows. So, I mean, Dreamer selling this to Paul. I'm selling it to Paul. This has got to be a pay-per-view match. And Paul was, let's see about TV first. And I'm like, oh, I think this is a pay-per-view match. And then we all decided, like, okay, this is a television episode. We're going to keep it to 44 minutes. And the whole episode is going to start with how we've been doing this. Paul comes to Pensacola, Florida. And it was just a bad day. Like, there was a team meeting that said we weren't getting paid that night. And guys were down. Just Incredible and Sandman came in late, and they were hammered already. I mean, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and then they're tore up. So we get in the ring, and everything just went to shit. Well, Sandman gets on the mic, and he just does something, and he goes, "Yeah, who wants to see my dick?" No one was like, what? He whips down his pants and, like, you know, twig and berries are out. Dreamer's trying to cover it up. And, yeah, Paul never put that match on TV. So, yeah, I was thinking, oh, shit. Ugh. And, by the way, Sandman is not well endowed, if you were wondering. I think that match is on YouTube somewhere. I may be wrong. Check it out. Dan, what you got?
I got a new contributor to our podcast, our little program here, Steve. It's at Deadite King. He writes, at Steve Carino Show, being able to work the crowd as such a great heel, have you ever feared you would not make it out of the building you are performing in?
Funny story. I'm in Puerto Rico, and I'm the lead heel. I'm the WWC Universal Heavyweight Champion. And I'm working with a kid named BJ, and he was somebody that we were building up, and we were having a lot of fun. And he was a tough kid. He was great. So one night, I'm fighting him in the crowd, and we're getting our heat. And all of a sudden, I said something. I don't know much Spanish or English. And I looked, but I do know some curse words. And I go, hijo de puta. And which means, like, son of a bitch, or I nailed your mother, or something dumb like that. And I noticed this guy, like, takes his right hand, goes into, like, his left pocket, and that quick, like, security jumps on him, and they start yelling, you know, get in the ring, get in the fucking ring. And we get in the ring, and you're the referee, go home now. So like me and Guillotine Legrand, like we punch the referee, we get disqualified, we go, and then Carlos Colon is waiting for us. He goes, get in the car and get out of here. So we get in the car and we're gone, and halfway up the road, like Carlos calls and goes, hey, what the fuck are you thinking? And I'm like, I'm just getting my heat, man. He goes, oh, that guy had a gun. I go, wait, what? Yeah, he had a gun. He's gonna shoot you, right? I go, you guys cart him off to jail? They're like, no, we just take the gun away. I go, oh my god! And I thought to myself, wow, in 2008, I was gonna get shot by a fan. But then later on, when I had a couple beers and we were sitting around the apartment, we thought, we're pretty good freaking heels if we can still get that heat. But man, that was freaking scary. Dan, you ever been shot before?
I have not. I have avoided that in my day-to-day life.
Oh, that's scary. Puerto Rican people can be real, real scary.
Yeah, I've also avoided Puerto Rico in my lifetime as well.
It's a gorgeous, gorgeous island. And I have a question from the Gmail right about Puerto Rico, too. And it's from Joseph Beanie. He says, hello, Steve. I don't know if he said it in the George Costanza way. But he said, longtime fan, loved your promo Extreme Rising last December. Extreme Rising. My question is, I've read that you spent time in Puerto Rico. Could you please describe your time there and what roles other than wrestler that you had filled while on the island? Thanks, Joe Beanie. Now, getting into that, you know, as being lead heel, I was also a part of the booking crew. And it was myself, Guillotine Legrand, who was just an amazing, amazing wrestling mind. One day I want to have him on the podcast because he's so underrated. And I don't know whether it is because he was always with me and I always kind of got the thumbs up for stuff, and they didn't realize that he did it. You know, a lot of the stuff that I would write for ROH, my intros were, you know, collaborated with Guillotine Legrand, and just an amazing, amazing mind. And so I was on the booking committee, you know, basically helping develop talent. Myself, Orlando Colon, who is one of Los Matadores. I don't know which one, but it's, you know, when you have Puerto Ricans playing Mexicans, it's kind of weird. I don't know, because they don't get along. And I was like the liaison too, where me and Legrand lived. We lived at the Dahlia in San Juan, where it was also like a meeting place for IWA and WWC guys to like come and hang out and you know, drink some beer and be good brothers sitting around and not have to worry about politics. And it was a fun time. You know, we didn't make much money at all because, you know, Victor Jovica is always taking the money. You know, always taking the money. That's what he sounded like. You know, if anybody out there has ever dealt with Victor Jovica, he always taking the money. That's what he did. But yeah, good times in Puerto Rico. I recommend every young wrestler to definitely go down and experience Puerto Rico at least once. You're going to get screwed, but at least if you know that going in there, it's good. What you got?
I got at Joseph McGee. It's a little bit of a funny one. He goes, at Steve Carino Show. It's almost as if he was writing this as he was listening to last week's show. So if you haven't listened to episode 3, stop this tape, listen to episode 3, and then come back and hear this question from Joseph McGee, who writes, at Steve Carino Show, wait, did at King Carino hum the Doug theme while his cohort looked up that girl on Twitter? Or he said on the Twitter. I believe
always on
did.
The Twitter.
Yeah.
I think I did. Yeah. You know, I got to keep it going.
I re-listened. It was very, if it wasn't, it was, you like kind of unconsciously did. It was very close to what the Doug theme was. And it probably could have been, but was that your intention or were you just humming?
I was just humming. Yeah. But it was really good. And you did look up the girl.
I did.
It was, 38,
wild, right? 38J does exist.
Yeah, wild. Wild shit, man. And I love it that, like, people... What would be the best way to describe her profession? Adult model?
Well, certainly she doesn't leave a lot of room for imagination.
Yeah. Pretty awesome. Those are the type of people that listen to the Steve Corino Show. Hey, throw them up. We don't mind. At Steve Corino Show. Now, we got one back from Brad PTBN. And he asked, am I surprised that Liger was the most popular New Japan star at Global Wars? And I really wasn't. Because Jushin Thunder Liger has done many things in professional wrestling. And it's kind of strange that who American fans find more famous than what's actually famous in Japan. Right now, Tanahashi and Nakamura and Okada, they're hot. But to most American fans, they remember what Jushin Thunder Liger did in WCW and how innovative he was back in the early 90s with like Brian Pillman in WCW. And he cemented his legend right there. And I wasn't surprised. And did you know that Jushin Thunder Liger is going to be 50 years old this year?
Well, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, I would have guessed even older, because when you looked at those pay-per-views from the early 90s with WCW, he was probably a very young man, but because of the nature of his costume and the mask and everything, you had no idea who was underneath that.
Yeah, and it's so true. He's great shape. He looks good. I mean, under the mask, he looks good. I've seen his face. He's not, like, super ugly. But I was very, very, very impressed with how he's evolved. You know, he's not outdated. Of course, he's going to be a little slower than he was, you know, back in 1995 or 1993 or all that stuff, but man, it's one of those things where he's just a legend, and he comes out and it's great. You know, this Saturday he'll be against Adam Cole for the ROH World Championship at the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City. I'm looking so forward to that. It's just going to be so much fun. And one of the reasons it's going to be fun is if you think about it, Jushin Thunder Liger became Jushin Thunder Liger in 1989. Adam Cole was, born in 1989. It was great. That and so was my life. To think, like, you know, for Adam Cole to face a guy that was, you know, being that character when he was a baby is literally like when, you know, I got to wrestle Dusty Rhodes, and I'm so excited. You know, I'm so excited that Adam Cole, and for you people that don't know Adam Cole, just a great kid. And I'm so happy for his success. And he's just been a great champion, and he loves professional wrestling, and he's always trying to get better. And for him to be in the ring with Jushin Liger is it's going to be a cool moment. And I think you're up, Dan.
Well, cheap plug alert, a little bit early than usual, but if you want to hear Adam Cole, he was on episode 1 of the Kevin Kelly Show.
Yeah, that's right, he was. I'm going to have him on, too. He was at my wedding.
Was he?
Yeah, I talk about that on ROH TV all the time. I'll name drop every once in a while.
Ah, all right. Speaking of Dusty Rhodes, I know we've talked about this before. Our buddy, at JDVirgilio4, he writes at Steve Corino Show, what was it like working with Dusty Rhodes?
I thought of this when I saw the question. I thought, like, man, how am I going to answer this? Because it's actually a question I've gotten so many times over the last 14, 15 years. And this is how I want to say it on my show. This is the Steve Corino Show, and this is where people get to hear me spout out my opinions. For me, I was a huge wrestling fan since I was 8 years old, since 1981. Okay, I used to get all the magazines, the After magazines, and every month I would use my allowance to get Inside Wrestling, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, The Wrestler, Sports Review Wrestling. I would see Dusty Rhodes on Georgia Championship Wrestling, and then eventually on, you know, Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, which became World Championship Wrestling. Every month I would go to the Philadelphia Civic Center And I would sit there and cheer on Dusty Rhodes. And to think about years later that I would be in the ring across from him, wrestling him, doing promos on him. Holy shit, man. Dream come true. Like, and no pun intended, but, and to think like Dusty Rhodes would be the catalyst for me going from just an indie guy that made it to ECW, the skinny indie guy that made it to ECW that was okay, adequate on the microphone, adequate in the ring, spouting off about anti-hardcore and old school, feuding with Tommy Dreamer and Taz, but I needed that one true old school character to be programmed with to make the my character legitimate. And to think that it was Dusty Rhodes. Holy shit, the three-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion was that guy. So, man, JDIVIRGILIO4III, working with Dusty Rhodes, greatest thing ever. I guess it's my turn, right? All right, let's see what we got here. Let's go back to Stephen J. Sutton. And I did say it, Stephen. I did say it. How about having Extreme Horseman member C.W. Anderson on the show? Very, very good that you asked. C.W. Anderson, one of my best friends in the entire world, major part of the PWF show tonight against Mr. Wrestling 3. I don't know who Mr. Wrestling 3 is, but he is one good-looking mofo. And definitely C.W. Anderson, who has a lot of great stories, is a lot of fun. It's going to be one of those things where C.W. Anderson is going to have to be on in two or three different parts, because once we start talking and telling the old stories and giggling, it's going to be a lot of fun. Yes, we are definitely going to have C.W. Anderson on in June. Coming up in June, we're going to have let's see here. We're going to have Brad Cook on in 2 weeks, who's OOTP. Out of the Park Baseball is coming up. Frankie DeFalco next week. I've reached out to Scotty Riggs, C.W. Anderson. A whole bunch of Kevin Steen will be joining us in the next few weeks. We got a lot of great, great people that are going to be joining the ranks of the Steve Corino Show. Do you have any more? Because I have one from the email.
I don't have any more questions. I just have one quick Twitter love if you wanted to do the question first.
Okay. It will go back to, I had it and I lost it. Okay, this one. Justin Pratt. He says, hey, Steve, I was wondering, what role do you think you would have played in WCW if you would have joined in late 2000, 2001? Justin, you haven't been watching any of my shoot interviews. Let's say the company had not folded and they acquired you in a top-level push in mind. What direction would you have gone? Feuds, character development, etc. Now, I actually did sign in January of 2001 and sat for 6 weeks. I was told that I was going to be involved in a feud with Dusty and Dustin Rhodes with Jeff Jarrett as my partner. And if you go back to like the dying days of WCW, Jeff Jarrett and Ric Flair were involved in a feud with Dustin and Dusty Rhodes. And eventually I was going to play a part in it. To me, I knew something was wrong. And all I thought was, you know what? I could end up on one pay-per-view and then be home for 3 years because they'll probably just, you know, forget me. And I definitely felt that the second I signed the contract when they said, well, we're going to sign this contract, but we're not going to announce it for a while. I said, oh, all right, what do you want me to do? They said, sit at home. Oh, well, all right. So I sat at home for like a couple weeks not doing anything. And then when the WWE came in and bought WCW, all I kept thinking was, ah, shit, I have to make it to that 90-day clause for my contract to vest. Day 46, released. Yeah, they didn't bring me. They didn't keep me. Never made one match in WCW, but ended up getting paid for almost 9 weeks. Pretty awesome. Thank you, Justin. What you got?
All right. Here,
I fell asleep again.
I did not. I had that coffee right before we went on the air. This is last week we did a whole big segment. It was all about Twitter love. We're just going to do one quick Twitter love. If you remember the girl that I looked up on the Twitter last week, her other half is a fellow by the name of @BigStevie1. And he follows me on Twitter, so you should too. He wrote, "More people need to follow @SteveCarinoShow. He's the #KingOfOldSchool and the best #ECWChamp #OldSchoolExpulsion.
Well, that was very nice of you, and we appreciate the push. It was very, very cool. And we appreciate everybody that was writing in, and you know, every week, write in @SteveCarinoShow. If you just want to throw it on the email so everybody else doesn't see it, SteveCarinoShow@PlaceToBeNation.com, SteveCarinoShow@gmail.com. I'm very excited to answer everybody's questions, and I think you know we've had enough that we spread them around that we can do it. You know, so hey, this weekend tonight, because you're listening to it on Friday night, the Hubert Bingo Hall, the Premier Wrestling Federation, my Premier Wrestling Federation debuts at the Hubert Bingo Hall, 7:30 p.m. If you're in Eastern North Carolina and you're listening to this on your drive around on Friday, get your ass to the Bingo Hall. It's going to be great. We're expecting an okay crowd, and you know, it's the first time in the building. Very excited. We heard American Tiger talk about it earlier. Tomorrow night, Saturday night, it's the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City. It is sold out for Ring of Honor versus New Japan. It's going to be great. Visit my website, www.worldofcarino.com. Also visit placetobenation.com. If you want to buy a t-shirt, Pro Wrestling Tees, get the new turtle logo. It's for the PWF. I'd love to see people wearing it. It's an awesome, awesome logo. And it's very different than every other wrestling shirt out there. Plus, there's going to be brand new shirt, Steve Carino shirts on there. Hey, follow me on Twitter, @KingCarino. Follow us, the show, it's Steve Carino Show. You want to follow American Tiger? Go American Tiger. He's wrestling in tag team title match tonight. What else do we got? @PlaceToBeNation. Dan, what's yours again?
@DMcG4881. And for those that were listening to episode 2 a few weeks ago, and we talked about my beautiful teeth and my great picture, that is now my profile picture as well. So you'll get a chance to see what that all the fuss was about with that great headshot that I put up on my Twitter.
I like it. It's good. You're a good-looking guy. You should be very proud of yourself. Also, follow the PWF @PWFLegacy. Visit us on the website, www.prowrestlingpwf.com. Get that word out, people. And people, tell a friend about the Steve Carino Show, because we are here each and every week. Next week, Frankie the Thumper DeFalco, former AWA and WWF job guy, and current promoter of Bruce City Wrestling. He's going to be a lot of fun to talk about. Until next week, I'm Steve Carino, he's Dan McGinn, and this was and will always be the Steve Carino Show.
Marshall no more, they want shady, I'm chopped liver. Well, if you want shady, this is what I'll give you. A little bit of weed mixed with some hard liquor, some vodka that'll jumpstart my heart quicker than a shock when I get shocked at the hospital by the doctor when I'm not cooperating, when I'm rocking a table while he's operating.